Phil Wilson joins us now from Scout.com. Phil, how you doing?
Good. Just driving out of Anderson University, one hour north of Indianapolis after another wonderful humid day of training camp with the Indianapolis Colts. Boy, I just couldn't control it. I'd rather be in Canada right now. I still thought I would.
Hey, our weather's great right now. You'd love it here. Plus, it's light out to like 10 o'clock, so it's great.
I almost got up there to see you soon. Yeah. I almost got up there. I was going to Vancouver. I know that's a different area, but going to Vancouver in earlier July, but we had a vacation that had to be postponed because of a family emergency, but I'm trying to get up there and see you guys at some point.
The Indianapolis Colts, a pretty big offseason when you consider the names Frank Gore, Andre Johnson, Trent Cole. Let's start there. Of those three, who do you think will be the most impactful?
Good question. You said Gore, Johnson, and who?
And Cole.
Oh, man. Tell you what, it might have to be Cole, because I don't think we're going to see Robert Mathis until Jim Irsay, the owner, says late September, early October. I think Trent Cole might have to be a leader as far as the pass rush until Mathis gets back. I think you count on Gore and Johnson to be steady influences, and you can make an argument that Gore could be that extra missing link, just a little more reliable in the run game. But, Boom Heron and Ahmad Bradshaw did a good job last year when the Colts finally realized Trent Richardson was a mistake. They were terrible. So I'll give the slight edge to Cole right now, with Gore a close second and Johnson a steady third.
Phil, speaking of Gore, Jason and I were talking about this. He's on the wrong side of 30 for a running back. He's 32 years old now. Some people have been writing him off for a few seasons now. 1, 2, 3, 4 consecutive 1,000-yard rushing seasons, a whole bunch before that as well. How much do you sense he really has left, though?
It's a good question, and I understand why people are saying it and writing it. And Frank, he can read. So, he arrived in Indy and said, I got a lot left. Andre Johnson said the same thing. They know what the doubters are saying. The thing I noticed about Frank, he gets mad when Chuck Pagano or anybody asks him to take the play off. The guy still works out and works harder than maybe anybody around. And he really has put in the time here at camp. I saw it in OTAs as well, the example he sets. He doesn't talk a lot, Andre Meter, but they work hard, they're professional, they go about their business. And to answer your question, there was a play early in camp, late last week, I guess, and he made a quick cut to his right to hit the hole because the hole wasn't to the left, and it opened up perfect for him, and he just blasted through untouched for 10, 15 yards. And I turned to the guy next to me and said, I never saw Trent Richardson make that move in 2 years. It was instinctual. He didn't have to think about it. He saw the hole develop somewhere else, and he cut it off and ripped it off. And he gets real low. I like that. That's how he avoids a lot of hits. He can avoid the contact a lot of times. And he's lightning quick. And I think the Colts are going to be smart with him. They're not going to make him a workhorse. They're going to try and get him into that 10, 15 carry range to get the most out of those. I'd be very surprised and shocked if you saw him have 20 carry games too often.
Phil Wilson joins us from Scout.com, previewing the Indianapolis Colts. There was some controversy in football circles about drafting Philip Dorsett, the wide receiver. He comes in. You've got Andre Johnson. Then you've got a guy who's built similar to him in T.Y. Hilton, who has just been a dynamic receiver the last few years. Do you see Dorsett, somebody who comes along slow and maybe pushes Johnson out of the starting rotation, or how are they handling him? How has he looked so far in camp?
Well, Dorsett's impressed the heck out of me, guys. He really has. I'll even say he impressed the hell out of me. We can handle that word on radio. He's been phenomenal, and by that I mean he's got more polish than your normal rookie. There was a deep ball one time here, and Luck chucked it, and Dorsett did something that veterans do. He had safety on him in the corner closing fast, and he took his eye off the ball in flight and looked off one of the defenders. The as if he was slowing up, like, okay, the ball's not coming. And I saw the defender just kind of pause. And then he picked the ball back up and played after he looked him away and caught it for a 60-yard gain. I'm thinking, that's sick, because usually receivers need 2 or 3 years to learn not to bring their hands up too soon because the defender will be tipped off, not to have their eyes get wide and look back at the ball, and tips the defender off again. He was the total veteran move for a rookie, and I went, okay, he's fast, but he's also smart. I think the Colts are going to use him in the slot to start. I think they still value Andre as a bigger target, especially in possession-type situations where he's so big it's hard to jam him and get him off routes if you need a 3rd-and-7 conversion or a 3rd-and-5. But I think they're going to go 3-wide a lot more, and Dorsett's going to be on the field with T.Y. And Andre and pitch your poison, boys.
Yeah, exactly. On the other side of the ball, Phil, I had a question when I look at the stats. I wonder about the defense and whether it just needs to play better. It's not a bad defense, but among the division leaders last year in the AFC, it ranked 4th in terms of points against, and it was in basically middle of the pack. How much better does it have to be?
That's the biggest question. You should have concerns. I have concerns. Anybody who's paid any kind of attention to it, any details should have concerns. Bottom line, the Colts were 11th last year in total yards allowed. That makes them sound better than they probably were. You got to figure they're beating up on some bad teams. Look pretty darn good beating up on the AFC South. Reality is they were 19th overall, I think, tighter. They were 19th alone in points allowed. That's more important.
Yeah.
And if you're 19th allowed, you're in the bottom half. What happens when you face really good teams in the playoffs? Well, we saw it. They've gotten run over by the New England Patriots the last 2 Januaries in Foxborough. And I'm sorry to admit to you fellas, I've made that trip to Foxborough, the Razor, 4 times in January. And if I were a Colts fan, I'd probably be suicidal right now, because all 4 of those trips, 2 with Peyton and 2 with Andrew, they didn't work out so well. Double-digit losses, brother. So they've got to be better on defense. And I'll tell you this. Jim Irsay, the owner, came out here last week to training camp, talked about Robert Mathis, talked about getting T.Y. Hilton the contract, getting him on the contract. They dropped a little dime on us, but a lot of people didn't notice. He said he's talked to Chuck Pagano about being more hands-on with his defense and about how he expects them to play better. He wants Chuck as a defensive coordinator to do what he was hired to do. And Chuck's in a contract here, too. And a couple of us who pay attention to these little things thought, even though the Colts have won 11 games 3 years in a row, it sure as heck sounds like the owner just put the head coach on the spot to get this defense better this year, one way or another.
Phil Wilson joins us, and it's not like Irsay's, an owner who has been Mr. Patient over his time and not being afraid to make a move to get in the spotlight, even if it's a bad move sometimes.
No, Jimmy's so competitive. A lot of people make fun of him for his flaws and some of his missteps. That's easy, shots, But the guy has always really cared about winning and about winning championships. When he says in the offseason that I expect at least 2 Super Bowl wins in the Andrew Luck era, it raises eyebrows. And when he says that, his biggest regret for the Peyton Manning era is they only won once, you know what he's talking about. He's talking about that's the only way you're defined. Yeah, we're a good team. Yeah, we excite people. Yeah, we score points. Yeah, we win most of our games. But if we don't win enough championships, I, as an owner, am not satisfied, because that's why we do it. And I kind of like that. I kind of like that, as opposed to some guy that we might think could be just walking to the bank and cashing checks or, accruing riches. I don't think he cares about the money at all. And I was there in Miami when he won his 1 Super Bowl, and I stood there and talked to him while I was holding the Vince Lombardi. I'll never forget as long as I live. And it meant as much to him as anything.
Phil, you talked about the 3-11 win seasons. It doesn't matter if you get scorched in the playoffs. For the regular season, though, is 11 wins a reasonable expectation for this collection of players?
Yeah, it is, because, we talked about the offense at the outset, and when you see the weapons, we didn't mention Dante Moncrief, who's got noticed, the wide receiver entering his second year. Teron Carter, who played up there in Canada, Chris Carter's son, he made 2 great catches yesterday, back-to-back slants for touchdowns. He's got a decent skill set. just maybe a little raw and immature, but his skill set's a good question. I mean, that guy might be their fifth receiver. They got Kobe Fleener and Dwayne Allen, tight ends. I mean, they've got so much offense. They're going to roll off the truck or off the bus, the hotel, and somebody probably spots 21 when they show up on time. So they're going to score a ton of points. And their first five or six games are not against, I think the first five are against mediocre best quarterbacks and teams that probably aren't expected to do real well. They have three tough teams this year, guys. Three tough ones. And I'm not saying they won't lose another one here or there. But they've got Denver and New England at home. Yeah, the Patriot games again. And they're on the road to Pittsburgh. Those are the three biggies. And if you win two of those three, you got a good chance of being maybe 13-3, 14-2. To lose two of those three or all three of them, you might be looking at 11, 12 wins again, and nobody will get to January.
Phil, which team in the division is the second best team in your mind?
I'll say Houston, only because I have a ton of respect for J.J. Watt and what they've tried to build on defense. I'm not sold on whoever they decide will quarterback them. They have the same problem they've had since the program's inception. I think they started in, 2002 with David Carr. They've never had a quarterback, and I know that's arrogant, and I feel like I'm bragging, but, dude, you know, what have I had since 1998? I've had Peyton Manning for most of those years, and Andrew Luck for four, and a grab bag of garbage for 1 year, but it was worth it because it got us Andrew Luck the next year. So I've benefited from seeing two pretty darn good quarterbacks in my time. And the Texans still haven't had one. So that's what's keeping them getting over the hump. But they made a nice jump, bounce back last year. I still think, even with Arian Foster out, they're probably better than Tennessee and Jacksonville. Maybe that's more of an indictment on the other two teams. I'm not touting Houston as high, of course, because I had a ton of respect for Arian Foster. And the fact that he's hurt, that's going to hurt him a lot. But they're a tough team. Bill O'Brien will have that defense plan nasty. And you've got to block J.J. Watt. You still make the play. So I'll put them a very distant second.
Phil, I appreciate the rundown. Quickly, because, you know what, from an Indianapolis perspective, what do you make of the whole deflate gate that involved the Indianapolis Colts and the New England Patriots?
I almost made it through my first interview without being asked about that. That's so funny. I've read two things about it since it happened, because the reality of it is, for me and for the Colts, at least the players and coaches, you know, the balls were properly inflated the second half of that game. It was 17-7 at halftime. It ended up 45-7. You can do the simple math and figure out that it was 30-0 second half, but the balls were fine. So it didn't impact the outcome. I'm not saying that Brady shouldn't be punished for being evasive and not cooperating with the league.
Mm-hmm.
I hope Roger Goodell's ruling stands up. But from the Colts' perspective, they want to go away because it's a reminder of how badly they got embarrassed up there in January at the play game. It had nothing to do with that outcome of the game. And that's the humbling part of it for the Colts.
Excellent, Phil. I really appreciate it. Enjoy the season. We'll talk to you again soon.
I love my Canadian brothers. Let's get hockey here soon, guys. I hate it when the system fucks our house.